Hello, we are Simon Grand, a strategy designer, knowledge entrepreneur, and management researcher, professor for strategic management at the University of St. Gallen, and research fellow at the Zurich University of the Arts.
And Christoph Weckerle, head of the Department of Cultural Analysis at Zurich University of the Arts, and researcher in the field of cultural policy and creative economy. Together, we have launched the non-profit venture Creative Economies, which curates experiments, projects and initiatives that design and investigate new opportunities for value creation across global networks. Thereby, it develops and debates valuation devices for cultural, technological and economic performance. Based on our research and practice, we come to the conclusion that traditional perspectives on the cultural and creative industries need to be reviewed and new scenarios developed. The still widespread transfer-orientated approaches of the old industries to the cultural and creative industries, or inside-outside views on the delimitation of the cultural and creative industries as a complex of industrial sectors, have reached their limits. Such approaches indeed put the cultural and creative industries on the agenda of politicians and decision makers, but many artists and designers don't understand themselves as part of traditional economies. Only new approaches will help render fruitful the high innovation potential and also the entertainment qualities, the forms of knowledge and the critical resources of this complex of sectors for cultural, political and social developments, and also for other sectors.
Our joint research blends the expertise and perspectives of an art university and a business university. Furthermore, it combines a macro and a micro perspective. We are studying geographies, institutions and cities on the one hand, creative actors, networks and organizations, and their practices and processes on the other. The following slide presentation, which we present in two videos, has been developed and designed along a series of workshops in Venice, Hong Kong, Zurich and London, with the idea of reframing the cultural and creative industries and developing a novel approach that we name Creative Economies. The first video focuses on why reframing the cultural and creative industries is crucial, and how a shift from a macro perspective to a micro perspective on artistic processes and practices can be initiated. The second video introduces the new focus we propose, the creative economies, and it explains why curating is a promising practice of dealing with the multiple uncertainties in these economies.
The concept of the cultural and creative industries is modeled and visualized differently in different regions of the world. Many circles for federalist countries, one circle with a clear midpoint for centralistic countries, triangles with the cultural and creative industries at the top for regions where heavy industries still are the foundation of welfare, arrows for regions where cultural and creative industries are understood as a powerful value chain, overlapping circles for the position between the corporate sector and the cultural sector. The main purpose of these models is to reduce complexity. The result is a gap between the processes and practices of creative actors and the understanding of politicians. The cultural and creative industries are far away from being a constellation with well-defined sequences of actions in a linear model, since they are defined by a set of sub-markets which sometimes have very few in common. This means a dramatic challenge for traditional mechanical politics, governance and management. The cultural and creative industries are more a complex landscape asking for an accurate mapping. This means tolerating complexity. What we observe are force fields. One of the main drivers of cultural and creative industries is the force field singularity versus mainstream. Every artist, every designer wants to be unique and distinctive. They want to do something no one else has done before. On the other hand, they want to have access to the market, and this is where the mainstream element comes in. The audience has to get information about the singularity, wants to buy more than one of a kind, wants to compare it to other products, pieces of art, wants to know how much it costs. Other characteristic force fields are formal, informal, public, private, for-profit, not-for-profit, tradition, innovation. What these force fields have in common is that they don't follow a neither nor logic, but more a both and logic. It's not singularity or mainstream, it's always both. Taking the notion of these force fields seriously means a shift from the question, what belongs to the cultural and creative industry, how to measure the impact of the cultural and creative industries, towards who is the cultural and creative industries, what are creative actors doing, and why. In our research, we thus explore the activities and processes characterizing the practices of individuals, networks and organizations in the cultural and creative industries in greater detail and from a micro perspective.
From a micro perspective, it is important to note that while politicians and statisticians discuss the cultural and creative industries as an important phenomenon, the creative actors in the field do not see themselves as part of the cultural and creative industries. They run design agencies, realize films, engage in performances, develop computer games. Hence, zooming in implies that the cultural, political, and economical debates about the cultural and creative industries move into the background. And what we see instead is a multitude of highly idiosyncratic practices, initiatives, and related modes of organizing and managing artistic processes. Specifically, we observe a current insistence on the singularity of these practices, which requires an in-depth involvement in order to understand them in their specificity and context dependence. At the same time, it is central, although provocative, to generalize these practices and to identify general patterns. We identify six practices which are characteristic of creative and artistic initiatives and enterprises. Artistic practices imply projecting. This means that it does not primarily focus on the world as it is, but rather on the world as it could be. Thereby, focusing on such alternative futures inherently implies criticizing, questioning, and challenging the world as it is. This explains the subversive and speculative qualities of artistic processes. Such projections are often fragile and can be controversial. It is thus important to materialize them in the form of sketches, models, images, and prototypes. This makes them tangible, imaginable, and thus accessible to further exploration and experimentation. This explains why the material, bodily, media-related aspect is so central to artistic processes. It is through, in and by actually performing alternative futures that they are explored. Thereby, every artistic projection is contingent. It could be otherwise, and it has to claim and confirm its ambition and quality as artistic contribution. As a consequence, valuation processes are essential, mobilizing different judgment devices, including expert opinions, formal rankings, prize mechanisms, or curatorial interpretations. The contingency of artistic projections explains the central role and the controversial nature of any such judgment device. To advance artistic projections, multiple modes of experimentation, bricolage, improvisation can be observed. They contribute to testing and exploring initial propositions. While initial materializations can be seen as hypotheses, subsequent experiments and improvisations elaborate their relevance, at the same time withdrawing, replacing, or further sharpening them. Over time, artistic actors develop their own and specific repertoires of experimentation strategies. Such repertoires develop within specific organizational arrangements in the form of artistic collectives, design agencies, creative networks, and subversive movements. Thereby, we observe a common pattern in the transition from individual projects into a series of initiatives which eventually become an artistic position, embedded in specific processes of organizing. Thereby, every artistic position can be seen in a multitude of economic, cultural, and societal contexts, which are explicitly or implicitly referred. In the interactions, connections, and references to these contexts, an artistic position, its organizational institutionalization, its valuation and impact are gaining their singular profile. With respect to our analysis above, we see that creative actors and their practices are not primarily confirming and stabilizing the creative field identified as cultural and creative industries from a macro perspective. They rather shift, challenge, change, and reinvent this creative field with every new project and initiative. It is thus essential to explore how this can be made relevant for a more dynamic and precise description and understanding of the cultural and creative industries from a macro perspective.
Thank you for watching this first video about From Cultural and Creative Industries to Creative Economies. In the second video, we suggest a new approach to the cultural and creative industries, which we reframe as an action field for value creation in terms of creative economies, and where we discuss curating as an alternative to management and governance for this action field. This is the second of two videos about From Cultural and Creative Industries to Creative Economies. The first video focuses on why reframing the cultural and creative industries is crucial and how a shift from a macro perspective to a micro perspective on artistic processes and practices can be initiated. In this second video, we suggest an alternative perspective, creative economies, which allows us to model value creation in this field in a new way, as well as to rethink management and governance as curating practice. After having gone into the details of artistic practices and strategies at the end of the first video, we now zoom out again and ask ourselves if and how all this relates to other areas of knowledge and production, like for example technology or economy, but also to the intersection and their multiple interplays with culture. Let us think of a designer working on a gamification strategy for a bank's new customer generation. He works closely with a software developer and the client is the Swiss Banking Association. Or let's think of a pharmaceutical lab doing research on portable X-ray equipment. They collaborate intensively with entrepreneurship specialists, developing an accurate business model for the client, which is a UN agency. Therefore, we have developed the concept of creative economies, not to be mixed up with the concept of creative economy. Creative economies are situated in fields of action involving a creative core of original creation an extended sphere of creative and innovative actors and a multitude of collocated organizations and industries. Thereby, and at first sight, the creative core sphere is closely related to the traditional cultural and creative industries. But at the same time, more areas and activities should be included. Depending on one's viewpoint, experiments, improvisations, hacking of already existing systems can also be considered as starting points for creative statements. Here, we are not talking about different disciplines anymore, but about specific attitudes, practices and processes, and always about the way culture, economy and science interact. A key momentum, however, is the fact that all these actors and organizations deal with unstable and uncertain conditions and with alternative models and novel possibilities which can't be deduced in an all-linear way from the already existing present. In the collocated sphere, we therefore find organizations and industries which are not directly involved in the creative core sphere. Nevertheless, they play a crucial role by guaranteeing the necessary frameworks, be it technological, infrastructural, financial. Thus, the collocated sphere creates the conditions for realizing alternative approaches and novel possibilities. Between these two spheres, we find a vast range of initiatives and organizations which neither belong to the core nor to the collocated sphere, but which consciously act in between. They establish the exchange relationship between both spheres by establishing highly creative transfer and translation settings. The correlation between specific actors, initiatives and practices and the different spheres, core, extended, collocated, is not rigid. It is the result of attributions, of attitudes, ambitions and strategies of the involved players. A game design studio can be an actor of the creative core when collaborating with an entertainment company, of the extended sphere in an art project, or of the collocated sphere when being partner of a research laboratory. Value creation is characterized by process constellation, constantly interlinking creation, development, realization, production, dissemination, staging, knowledge development, communication, and archiving in new ways. This is already common knowledge. Due to important influences of digitization or due to the influences of shifts from producer to consumer, there are less and less linear mechanisms. Moreover, by further zooming in, we realize an interesting phenomenon. Important zones of value creation seem to be the areas of transition between the creative core, the extended sphere, and the collocated industries. Thereby, we are convinced that traditional ways of governance or management have reached their limits. Again, we need a closer look on these areas.
In order to be operative within and across the different spheres of the creative economies, as well as to deal with the inherent uncertainties implied in creating alternatives to the world we know, traditional approaches to management and governance do not really work. As a consequence, we have to explore which organizing practices and processes enable and foster entrepreneurial initiatives in the creative economies instead. Through our discussions on different panels, as well as conversations with various actors in different value creation contexts across cultural, economic, scientific and technological fields, we can identify four important practices. Thereby, we recognize that this constellation of practices resonates with what is discussed as curating practices in an art context. Organizing managing and strategizing in the creative economies is about staging stories, a first important curating practice. It is about coordinating, integrating, and relating not through managerial intervention, but through connecting and reframing in novel ways, telling and materializing interesting projections by narrating worlds as they could be. The world as it is can only be productively challenged and changed if the modes through which we value it are changed too. We need alternative judgment devices, which make a difference and which make this difference tangible. We are familiar with the theories of devices, including rankings, evaluations, measures, exhibitions. We argue that reinventing them is a precondition for reframing of what is valued and thus of what is possible. And we argue that this is again at the core of curating. In order to make such reframing happening and to realize possible alternative realities, resource mobilization is a third fundamental curating practice. Only by attracting, generating and allocating the necessary financial and non-financial resources, we are able to making things happen or to establishing alternative judgment devices. What is needed are such diverse resources as money and expertise, trust and attention, complices and partners, technologies and institutions. In many cases, however, this reframing and creation process does not sustainably work within existing institutions like universities, museums, corporations, offices, internet platforms and distribution channels. This process might require the creation of alternative institutions that provide the contexts, platforms and formats for exploring such alternatives, as well as realizing them, a fourth curating practice. Thereby, we can think of such diverse things as novel formats for exhibitions and performances, unconventional enterprise models, experimental laboratories. Taken together, these four practices can be identified with a promising alternative to leadership and management, which is curating. Thereby, we understand curating in a very specific sense and far away from the everyday use we keep observing, for example, in marketing contexts. It is the curatorial approaches we know from cultural and scientific contexts, working with the dynamics of zooming in and zooming out, protecting and exposing, projecting and narrating, that allows for challenging the world as it is, exploring attractive and desirable alternatives, and scaling them in new ways, beyond established institutions and settings.
Thank you for watching this second video about From Cultural and Creative Industries to Creative Economies. You find more details about our approaches to mapping and exploring the cultural and creative industries, as well as the processes, practices and strategies of the multiple actors in this field on the website of our venture, creativeeconomies.com.